that bad times never last, but bad guys do. And I want to talk a little bit as we get going. We lost a legend this week in Scott Hall. And I know in recent years, sometimes I've kind of made fun of wrestling and its ridiculousness of it. But I did grow up watching a lot of it. Some of my memories of Scott Hall, I remember in the early days of watching wrestling, this was a guy that I truly believed was not nice, you know, and that's how good he was at what he did. He truly sold being a heel. And, you know, when you're 10, 12 years old, you don't know what a heel is. You're watching these larger than life characters and you think that they're real, you know, as a child. And, and I guess in my adult life, I make fun of it more because I realize it's not real and it's kind of ridiculous. But the great Razor Ramon Scott Hall was one of those guys that you truly believe was like this evil character. And he sold it so well, but then you learned in later in life that he wasn't really a bad guy. He's actually one of the good guys in the business. And it was a persona he played. And we lost him this week to some complications from surgery, going too soon. And you guys can, I want y'all's thoughts on Scott Hall too, but this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. And this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the man in black.
The man in black. But, you know, it was one of those celebrity deaths that was a little shocking because you weren't expecting it. And just the outcry. And the cool thing about it is the outcry, not just from the wrestling industry, but this is one of those characters or a person that played a character that was larger than even the wrestling industry because it seems the tributes were stretching out throughout celebrity in them, from actors and actresses to other sports stars. And that's how big Scott Hall was.
Yeah.
Paige, The Rock. I saw their little video tributes, you know, to him. And man, I'd forgotten he had shown up at Comic Palooza. Everyone we know from Comic Palooza is
he was there a few years ago
with him. And you know, it's crazy. He wasn't even really that old, really. You know,
He's 63.
Yeah.
Was in relatively good health. He fell and hurt his hip and had to have surgery done on it. And the complications of the surgery caused some heart issues. And he slipped into a basically kind of a brain coma and wasn't able to come out of it. And just very sad to hear. But he'll live on in memories and some great WrestleMania matches out there and video to watch of him. And it's a legend in the business, you know, gone too soon. We have those memories to live by him. Truly one of the best mic workers ever, man. I mean, you go watch some of the videos been going around this week and see the stuff he did on the mic and you can kind of appreciate it, just how good he is, what he did. Always kind of had like, I noticed a lot of the videos he was doing, he almost had this smirk to him every time, like kind of just smirking about things, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he knew like he was playing a character and having a good time about it. Yeah.
That's from all the stuff that was swirling upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, the mental game he had going on up there to play who he played.
Right. And behind the scenes, though, they said he was one of the best. He would coach young wrestlers, take them under his wing, teach them things. He would pull guys aside after they do a promo and tell them how to cut mic promos better. And he was really behind the scenes quite helpful to a lot of people. You know, I know The Rock gave him a lot of credit for things. Stone Cold as well. And some of those guys that say, you know, they learn from watching him. So
he was also a troll too. There was a funny story that I would remember back when he was in WCW, and apparently, you know, it's like a lot of wrestlers are very paranoid against each other sometimes, at times. Notoriously, you know, like if there's like a circle of wrestlers, so one wrestler would get up and say, I gotta go to the restroom. The rest of them, while he's away, would be like, do you think he's talking to the manager to get a raise? What do you think? What does he mean by going to the restroom? You know, stuff like that. Right. Very paranoid. So it's a kind of a shark tank too. But and Scott Hall would play that to his advantage at trolling them. Yeah. So he would do a quick TV match for 10 minutes and then he would go back to the locker room and he would jokingly say, well, that was the easiest $150,000 I ever made, which is not true. And then that would get all of the rest of the locker room just thinking, is that real? Is he really making $150,000 per match or something like that? So he was a big troll, a big practical joker as well. So
that's cool. And
well, that was the easiest $100K I ever made. So can you imagine? Yeah.
Interesting fact about Tim too. He was the first ever entrance on Raw, the very first episode of Raw ever. So he was one of the first promos and first cuts ever done to kick off a show that obviously brought modern wrestling to its prominence with Raw's War and the Attitude Era. So, but Scott Hall, you'll be missed, man. And thanks for the memories, and you know, and he'll live on. But how are you fellas doing this week? Y'all doing good?
Yeah, it'll be better.
Yeah, I've been on vacation, and it's been a rough one. The last couple of days have been better, but the first few days I was
sucks being sick on your vacation. Oh man,
because I wanted to get a lot more accomplished this week. Like, I haven't done my taxes. I was gonna do my taxes this week, but I haven't felt good enough to sit down and do them. You know, and it's just been like, oh, kind of misery. But the last couple of days, I've gotten some housework done. I have gotten some things accomplished, but not quite everything I wanted to. So, but you know, it is what it is. Life goes on, I guess.
Life goes on.
Yeah, it's not very much fun being sick on vacation, that's for sure. But I'm feeling better. I've actually felt pretty good today and yesterday. And Wednesday, I went out to the rodeo with the kids and livestock show and walked around. And it was a struggle for part of the day, but also at the same time, being out in the sun kind of was probably good for me. Kind of helped my body. I felt strangely better as the day went on. If that makes sense, I guess being out in the sun kind of helped. And, on the way home, I stopped out and I went by and saw our friend Daniel over at Misfit Toys and visited him. And, he welcomed us back as always. He said, "Hey, if y'all want to come do a show, just let me know." So maybe we'll make that happen one day, but, went and saw Daniel and that was cool. So
did he ask about me?
He showed up right. I got there about 5:30 and they closed at 6. He walked in about just before 6. And, so we just chatted a few minutes. We didn't really have a whole lot of time to talk. And, I'm kind of glad he showed up though, because the boys wanted some toys and he cut me some good deals. So that's all I'll say. Cause, you know, I think the other kid that was working there probably would not have cut me those deals that Daniel did. So I'll take it. You know, and Daniel likes to hook up his loyal customers, which is a good thing. But Misfit Toys, man, it's the best toy shop in Houston, hands down. So good times. But cool, man. Let's get into the show officially then. Download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, and checked out. And I haven't gone first in a while since I'm already yapping. I guess I'll go first. Being sick, though, I have had time to watch some stuff. I watched a couple of animations. I finally got around to watching Justice Society, World War II, the DC Animated Universe movie. I actually enjoyed this one quite a bit. The Flash kind of screws up and goes back in time to World War II, but it turns out it's not the same universe, and he has to help the Justice Society beat the Nazis, basically, and get himself back to Earth. Kind of a simple story, but I actually rather enjoyed that one. It was cool seeing some of the characters they had in there and seeing a different take on Superman. It's on HBO Max if you haven't seen it. Then I watched the new Catwoman Hunted. That's not that good.
Oh, really?
It's supposed to be an anime style. It's like, let's do part Dragon Ball, part Cowboy Bebop, part Trigun or whatever, all these animes, and let's call it an anime. It was really weird. Catwoman flirts with almost every single character she meets in the show. The story is just kind of flat. It was just odd. I didn't know what to make of it. There's weird story things that happen. Like, there's this bad guy, this bad lady in it, and all of a sudden she turns into the cheetah at the end of the movie. I'm like, how is she the cheetah? The cheetah is Wonder Woman's bad guy. I mean, it was weird. It was just kind of strange. Not terrible, but not one of the better ones. It was okay. I finished West Side Story from Steven Spielberg. Great movie. Great choreographing and really well shot. Man, I don't know who the cinematographer was on this, but man, just really, really well shot film for Spielberg, and definitely worth the watch. You know, it's a musical, Rumble. But it's not like
Rumble.
Huh?
Rumble. Rumble.
Strangely, the Rumble scene from the original is not in this. Like they, the Rumble's in it, but they don't do the build up like they did in the original. And yeah, it's weird. They do it a little differently. But man, it's really well acted. That I really like the guy who plays Riff in this. I've never seen him anything else before, but he's really good in the movie. And the kid from Baby Driver is the other main guy on the Jets, and he's really good too. But a good film, man. You know, one of Spielberg's better stuff of recent memory. Actually, it's the first film he'd done since Ready Player One. I felt like he had done something since then, but I guess not. And then on Netflix, I watched The Adam Project, which, man, everyone was like, oh, this is like 80s nostalgia. It's really good. It's okay. It's not that good. It's kind of typical Ryan Reynolds fare. It borrows from everything. It's all right. You know, all these actors are praising Ryan Reynolds for making an 80s childhood film. It's almost like they're just kissing his ass. It's okay. If you're bored one afternoon, one entertainment for an hour and a half, all right, which is kind of why I watched it. But I'm not going to praise it like all these other people are. I'm like, I didn't think it was that great. But it's all right. I think that's about it I watched. So I did watch some stuff since I had some time.
Yeah. I'll go next. I actually watched something this last Sunday. You'll be amazed. Woo. I'm a big fan of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird back when I was growing up as a kid, mm-hmm. back in the 80s. And I started watching the show called Winning Time. It was a dramatization starring John C. Reilly and plays Magic Johnson, but the actor who plays Magic Johnson looks just like him. You know, big smile, all that stuff. But John C. Reilly plays Dr. Buss, who became the owner of the Lakers organization in the early 80s. And he is so charismatic in that role. And he's Quincy fantastic. Quincy Isaiah. I'm sorry?
Quincy Isaiah.
Yeah, Quincy Isaiah. He looks almost like, Magic Johnson.
It's on Netflix, and, isn't it?
No, it's on HBO Max.
Okay, I remember seeing it when I was strolling, yeah.
Yeah, and also Michael Chiklis is in it. He plays Red Auerbach, the owner slash coach of the Boston Celtics, and he's pretty good in it. A couple of appearances here and there. But yeah, it just talks about how John C. Reilly character, Dr. Buss, buys the Lakers from the previous owner and tries to turn, you know, a stagnant organization into something that's, you know, bigger than life and all style and glitzy and more glamorous. And then, of course, Magic Johnson's role in the whole uprise of the Lakers dynasty. Mm-hmm. And, I can't wait to see who plays Larry Bird. And what's the name of the actor in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, who the human scientist?
Jason Clark.
Jason Clark. I think Jason Clark's in it. He plays Jerry West.
Yeah.
In it. But anyways, it's a very good series so far. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. And I got new glasses. I don't know if you guys noticed or not.
Yeah, they look good.
These Versace glasses.
Versace, so, baby.
Yeah, so.
Adrian Brody as Pat Riley. That's interesting casting.
Yeah. That's about it. I haven't had time to do anything, really. Just watch Twitch clips.
We know, Long. You worked. That. You have dinner, you have to have jack-off time, and then you go to bed. We know.
I didn't even have that much time to
jack-off. It only takes five minutes, man.
No. For me, it's an experience. I take longer.
Got to get the surround sound system set up.
Got to get the surround sound system going. The
projector screen. The smoke machine going.
The lava lamp.
Yeah, disco lights.
The fleshlight.
Careless Whisper playing in the background.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, man.
Dude, you know.
You helped me bought it, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Hey, what are friends for? you know?
Right. And Jackie dancing in the background. No, I'm joking. All right, moving on, Matt. What did you watch?
So, you know, that's good, Matt.
All right, we're done with download this. Okay, Mark, let's get to the feature.
Damn,
I'm joking. All
right. Now, Mark had mentioned last week that he watched Batman Hush, and I was like, you know, I was like, that's a good one. I want to watch it again. So I watched Hush. I also watched The Dark Knight Returns, Part One, and I'll watch Part Two probably sometime this week, because I think I've only seen like bits and pieces of that one, a little clips. I know what it's about, but you know, I want to watch it for myself. And then the two movies I watched Dark Fate, just because I was like, you know, I was like, I want to rewatch it. I want to, you know, watch some you know, post Governor Career Arnold movie. And, you know, I still like Carl. I still like the Carl thing. And I like the Rev 9.
You know what's funny is they always say post-governor. I was looking at his IMDb page one time when I was watching something. You know, he didn't really stop working that much.
Yeah,
he actually made several films while he was in office.
Yeah.
So I've never understood that because he actually worked quite a bit.
And he showed up to, you know, do the stuff for Terminator Salvation, you know, his part. You know, where CGI him.
Yeah, he showed up to be motion capture, but he didn't do any filming for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like 2 hours of time. So let's not say he showed up. I mean, a couple hours to scan him in. That was about it.
He helped, you know, boom, yeah. Participation trophy. You know, I still kind of like the film. You know, I've not been as critical as the female, you know, commander position, because I was like, you know, everyone's fighting. You know, I felt like every, you know, the humans are fighting, and she's just like, hey, we should be fighting the robots instead of each other. That's just helping them. And then they're like, ah, inspired. The resistance is now formed, you know. But I was like, I'd rather it be kept ambiguous still, but it didn't irk me as much. I like that John Connor's thing was ambiguous. You don't know if he was in the military. You know, you don't know his background. He's just, you know, there's no room for criticism because, you know, he's just is. And that's all there is to it. I was like, I wish they would have kept hers ambiguous too. It was cool that they didn't, you know, go the Sarah Connor route you know, which was, you know, more of the femme power, I guess, kind of route. But, you know, hey, you know, it's all good. I did watch The Adam Project. I thought it was a solid film. I you know, I agree with you, Mark. It's not like, you know, groundbreaking. I thought it was fun. You know, I enjoyed it. It's definitely worth a watch. I think, you know, if you're like, hey, you know, what's on, you know, I want to be entertained for a little bit and, you know, you turn it on.
I didn't want to sound like I hated it, but when you were watching it though, let's be honest, did you feel like Jennifer Garner or Mark Ruffalo really felt like they were there? Did their performances not feel mailed into you? Especially Jennifer Garner.
Maybe a little bit above.
Even Mark Ruffalo, who's usually pretty good, just felt like he didn't want to be there. And it just
Ryan Reynolds thought the kid did a good job. The kid and Zoe Saldana. Yeah.
Zoe Saldana and Ryan Reynolds were only two that felt like they wanted to be in the movie. That's kind of how it felt when I was watching.
And maybe the mom from Step Brothers, you know, her that per isn't that wasn't that her?
No.
Oh, was I that don't remember that.
Yeah.
No, it was somebody else. I didn't recognize the actress. Like I said, I wasn't not entertained by it, but I wasn't like
40-year-old virgin. Yeah,
it was okay. I enjoyed when it comes to recent Ryan Reynolds pictures. I enjoyed Free Guy more than that.
Yeah,
it was all right
for sure. Yeah, Free Guy is much more entertaining. You know, but this was okay. You know, it's not the best Ryan Reynolds movie. It's not the worst.
No,
you know, it's solid. You know. just, you know, it's not going to. No. I like the kid actor. I thought the kid was did good. A really good job.
A lot of times kids aren't always great in movies, but I'll give the kid credit. He was good in it.
Yeah. I like his parts, you know, it just because, you know, just those movies that you grew up watching where, you know, the kid's just having this sci-fi experience. And he's just you know, all these cool toys.
I also felt watching it. That's one of those movies that our former co-host Frank, he would hate. Because you know how Frank, when it comes to time travel movies, how Frank likes to take them too seriously. Oh, that can't happen because of paradoxes and all this. And I'm like looking at Frank every time he says this stuff. I'm like, you know, time travel doesn't exist, Frank. It's okay to make rules up. Frank would absolutely hate the Adam Project. Yeah. He would sit there. You know I'm right. They
touch each other.
And I know Frank listens to the show, and that's why I'm busting his balls right now. Because you know he would absolutely fucking hate this movie. He would just like, oh my god, I can't. Yeah, you know, it's like it's just a movie, dude. Time travel doesn't exist.
And then he'd talk about the battle tactics.
Yeah,
in strategy games, you don't ever attack like that. So it's not realistic. Like it's a movie.
But yeah, I mean, it's
not real in the first place.
It's a quick movie. It's only like an hour and 35, hour and 40 minutes long. So if you're bored, you know, it's worth a watch.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, solid.
You know, it's not a whole lot else out there right now. Cinemas are still kind of, they're still not steady. You know, we're getting, you know, Batman's out there making a lot of money and Sonic 2 comes out in a couple weeks, but it's still not that weekly release pattern yet. So got to find some entertainment where you can. If Netflix or Prime or HBO Max is where you get it at, then so be it, you know. So
I really thought I'd make it to, you know, there's a movie called X out there, and I was very disappointed that it was not streaming. And it's theaters only. Like, you know, it thinks it's so cool that it can only be, you know, released in theaters. It's a horror movie from the same studio as Hereditary. So long, if you haven't seen any promos for X out there, you might want to check it out.
The cool thing about some of those movies like that, though, is they say theaters only, but then they hit streaming within 3 or 4 weeks, you know, because they don't make a ton of money. Like I'm all over that damn. I know, Matt, you've had to have seen the trailer for the Nicolas Cage flick where he plays himself with Pedro Pascal. Dude, I'm all over watching that shit. I'm like, I'm definitely going to. It premiered at South by Southwest this past weekend. It got rave reviews and I think that looks so cool. Let's just see Nick Cage playing Nick Cage. So
all right. And the caster toy guns.
The unbearable weight of massive talent. Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yes.
So that looks like a lot of fun. And I expect it'll probably be streaming fairly soon after its theatrical release. So.
Oh yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, let's get into today's feature film then. A fun movie from 1997. One of Will Smith's early big hits. You know, he came off of Independence Day and Bad Boys. He had a couple pretty good hits under his hands, and he actually did not believe his agent when his agent told him Steven Spielberg was on the phone. He's like, "You're kidding me!" He's like, "No, Steven Spielberg's on the phone," and Will Smith could not believe that Spielberg was calling him to ask him to be in the movie he was producing and directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, and that is Men in Black. Based on a kind of an underground graphic novel at the time. Wasn't super popular graphic novel, but it is based on graphic novel. And essentially, I'll summarize. I haven't summarized in a while. It's pretty simple. Will Smith plays a cop who is recruited by Tommy Lee Jones' character of Kay to join a top secret organization that monitors alien activity on Earth and protects the planet. And recruits him into the Men in Black, and his code name becomes Jay. And essentially, they have to stop a giant bug from starting war with another faction and bringing the war to Earth and destroying life as we know it. Meanwhile, keeping all humans at bay from not knowing what's going on because humans aren't ready for something to know that aliens live among us. See, that's how you summarize, Matt. I've just got to bust your balls a little bit, not tell the entire.
Yes, you're the best, Mark.
You're the
greatest.
But me and Long both get the same look on our face when you're summarizing. Like, okay, we're just going to let Matt tell the whole plot of the film.
I like how I summarize. And, I would have talked about how the guy from Monk has a balloon head that it just explodes, you know, or something like that.
But back then he wasn't the guy from Monk, though.
No.
I rewatched this week. I hadn't watched it in a long time. It's pretty fun, man. This is it's a fun movie. I like the fact it's paced really quickly. It moves fast. It's not moves so fast, like you can't tell what's going on. It's actually paced just right. Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith are really good in it. I saw this in theaters when it came out. I think a lot of people did. It was a pretty big hit. I think about the only thing watching it, you know, 25 years later is some of the CGI is pretty good. Actually, I noticed the matte paintings the most. They use a lot of matte paintings in this for backgrounds, and they look kind of, they're kind of rough in parts. I noticed that more in the CGI. It's kind of weird to have a movie that has really good CGI work, and then the backgrounds are kind of rough looking. It's almost, you could tell just that J and K were standing in front of green screens and matte paintings at time. But other than that, this is a fun movie that I enjoyed. What's y'all's initial thoughts on Men in Black?
Yeah, I saw this movie in the theaters when it first came out, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a fun experience too, watching it with an audience, and you know, just enjoying the vibe. Like the chemistry between Tommy Jones and Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, as well as the world that the Men in Black movie created and introduced us to, as well as some of the practical effects in it, as you mentioned a little bit earlier with the matte paintings, and overall, it's a fun movie experience.
I saw it in theaters too.
Kind of reminds me of a Ghostbusters movie too.
Yeah. Yeah, very much Ghostbusters, except with aliens,
right?
And a
ton of disgusting entrails and stuff.
Yeah,
slime entrails
getting blown everywhere.
Yeah,
those are fun parts. It came out the weekend of my mom's birthday that year, and my mom's like, "Oh, this looks fun. Let's all go see it." And I remember walking into the theater. And it was the one right here that we usually all go to, that same theater. And the lady that kind of checked our tickets was like, "Oh, I don't know if you want to bring kids into this. It's kind of violent." And I was like, "It's not.
It's not violent at all."
Yeah. Yeah, man. My SpaghettiOs are more violent. It was, you know, it's a fun film. I think that's probably the best description of it. Will Smith is, you know, top of that time where, you know, he is this, you know, going from the, you know, rapping Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to this just, you know, big box office hit actor, one of the highest paid actors. And, you know, this is one of those films.
It's funny is, just,
you know,
he turned it down at first because he had just Independence Day.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he until didn't want to be typecast. His wife,
and his wife and Steven Spielberg convinced him to do it.
got on his wife, and to work with Spielberg. You know, I mean, you can't turn that down. But you know, I felt like this film was very popular due to the time. I mean, we had X-Files right before, you know, like 4 years before it started. So this fascination with secret government agency stuff was at a high, and you know, I feel like, you know, it's not as interesting now because the film, you know, the film's releases post this film definitely show that, because they just never captured the amount of money and popularity that the first film was able to accomplish, even with Chris Hemsworth, you know. And you know, this film, I feel like it's still fun to watch. I like, you know, Will Smith and the noisy cricket, you know, just hit and his chemistry with Tommy Lee Jones. It's crazy that we almost got Clint Eastwood, I guess, but he turned it down. That would have been good too. But maybe Clint Eastwood would have been like too hard. You know, Tommy Lee's just a little bit less of a hard, rough kind of character. He has that, all right, slick.
Well, and Tommy Lee Jones, and at first, Tommy Lee Jones kind of tried to play off of Will's comedy. And then Barry Sonnenfeld was like, no, you have to play it straight. Otherwise, the comedy doesn't work. So yep. And Tommy Lee Jones was like, oh, okay. And then, he plays the straight leveled-headed guy in this film so that Will Smith's comedy bounces off of him.
Gotta have that.
Yeah.
Just like in Ghostbusters, you have to have Egon there, you know, or else the other comedies don't work, you know? And I think that's what the remake kind of, just didn't get. You got to have that straight man there that just, you know, doesn't wean. And, that makes the comedy resonate.
Basically.
Basically, yeah.
Of course, Rip Torn, great character actor, plays their boss. Yeah. And plays Zed. He probably played there. It's funny because everyone around Will's Jay are kind of like just straight. And he's just bouncing off all these one-liners and stuff. And this is kind of the Will Smith that made people like really fall in love with him. It's the guy that's just kind of charismatic and fun. And he was allowed to improvise a lot of lines in the film. And that's what makes him work, you know. Even Linda Fiorentino, who is she's got like that older chick sexiness about her. Even there's times where it almost looks like she's going to start laughing at things he says, you know, like I think the scene where she's trying to tell him where that Vincent D'Onofrio's bad guys are underneath their feet, the stuff she's saying to him, and Will's like, oh, it's like that. Oh, we can just want to get it all right here. And it looks like she's just about to bust out laughing on screen the whole time. Uh-huh. Cause she's trying to play it straight to these funny things he's saying. Which is odd. I was curious while I was researching the movie. I was like, what happened to her? You know, cause she was like kind of Hollywood's it girl for a little while. And, she got into like some weird, tax troubles and stuff and kind of got blacklisted from Hollywood. And it's kind of why she hasn't acted since like 2007. Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't put out for Weinstein.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know if it was that. I just know it was some money issues and laundering some money and things like that. And she ended up
turning,
I guess she turned evidence on some people. So it kind of blacklisted her in Hollywood. So yeah. And of course, Vincent D'Onofrio is in this movie too, who's always good. And
you've pronounced that name three or four different times now. Three or four different ways. It's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Vincent Florentine.
I'll just fucking call him Kingpin, goddammit. Of course, he's much, much skinnier back then and much younger. And he actually researched bug movement and how they walked and moved so he can play the part. And he's kind of grotesque in this and kind of really creepy at times. The way he plays it with some makeup effects to make his face look like it's stretched out. He's kind of scary.
I told him, I was like, I could just picture Vincent just watching like Discovery Channel and trying to like mimic how the bugs move. And I was like, you know, to be on a fly on the wall, watching him trying to practice that in his own living room or something, just be hilarious. I like that. Your skin is sagging. Is that brother?
It's funny. It's funny because Vincent strikes me as one of those Hollywood guys that plays these really kind of, you know, tough guys sometimes, pretty scary characters. But he strikes me as the type of guy that is the exact opposite of that. When I see him in interviews, like, he'll just sit out your porch, have a beer with you, and probably laugh about stuff, you know? how he comes across, even though he plays a lot of tough characters and kind of scary guys. But he just seems real down to earth. Like you said, you can see him sitting at home just watching Discovery Channel in his living room trying to do this stuff. And that makes perfect sense for him as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it works. John Landis almost directed this, but they called it The Blues Brothers with Aliens, which I thought was kind of weird. I was like, I didn't see any comparison to the Blues Brothers in this movie, but okay, sure.
Just like they're wearing suits. That's it.
Yeah. Rick Baker, great special effects artist, did a lot of the special effects on this and helped design the creatures and things like that. And he said the hardest part was, sometimes Steven would want one thing and Barry Sonnenfeld would want another thing. So then Rick Baker would just combine the different things and say, look, this is what y'all are getting, because they were kind of not really fighting, but they both like different things over what they prefer to be in the movie. Because a lot of people don't know, when Steven Spielberg produces a movie, he's a pretty hands-on producer. You know, when sometimes you watch a film, it says, you know, produced by Tom Cruise or whoever. These guys aren't always hands-on, but Spielberg is known throughout his career for being very hands-on with his films he produces, even if he's not a director. So he's on set quite a bit and pays attention to things that are going on. So I guess he had his say in this as well. Was this an Amblin Entertainment film? It had to be if it's produced by Spielberg, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's DreamWorks, wasn't it?
It might. I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was a DreamWorks film, one of the studios.
Yeah.
Of course, the comic book's a little darker, not as quite as funny as the show or as the movie. Yeah. But
comic books, they would even fight zombies and demons and vampires.
Yeah, it was much more supernatural across the board in the books. But they chose to go with aliens, and I thought it was kind of cool how I kind of like how it builds the world in this, where they mentioned there's 1,500 aliens on the planet any time, and they have like an airport within this day where they have to check in to be on Earth. And the world building is quite interesting, how they do it in this and how they are protecting the humans from knowing that this is going on. I like all that little stuff, the way they did all that. I thought that was cool. And most of them are in Manhattan, which makes perfect sense because, you know, in the 90s, you know, New York and Manhattan was the place to do a lot of movies like this. It's where everything happened, of course, you know. And they make a cab driver joke, which apparently is a reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as far as why cab drivers are aliens. I didn't get that watching it, but apparently that's a reference.
Nice.
Of course, when Will Smith is telling – one of the parties where they wipe their memory from, he uses a lot of stuff from very famous UFO incidents like swamp gas, weather balloon, a couple other things, which are all famous stories out there. So some truth-based alien incidents in this movie, you could say. I think the dog scene is really funny, where they go, we got to go talk to somebody who's been around a long time and those things. He's over there shaking his fucking dog. People are looking at him like, what's going on? It's like...
God, I remember the controversy around that too. Like animal rights activists caught wind of it during the shooting of the film.
Yeah.
And right before the film was released, like 6 months before it was released, that was kind of the little controversy that happened in response to that dog shaking scene. But it's still funny. Yeah. The voice adds to it and kind of adds a comedic element to it.
Well, yeah, and when I'm watching it, I didn't think anything about like they're actually hurting a dog. I just thought it was a funny scene in a movie because the dog's an alien, so you realize it's an alien. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the worms? Yeah.
When I'm trying to remember.
You know, the coffee. Yeah, they're at the
coffee. Oh, were they going to get the coffee? Oh, yeah.
He tells Jay.
I guess I didn't think it was being worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that's what they were called, the worms. Maybe that's in the cartoon.
Maybe they were worms. I forgot there was a cartoon based on this. Kind of came out around the time of the second film, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this movie, you know, it spawned two sequels. The second one, for some reason, I don't remember the second one very much. I remember the third one, which has Josh Brolin. He plays a young K, and Will Smith goes through time. I actually like that one, but I don't remember the second one very much.
I forget the
I remember the Michael Jackson cameo.
Yes,
the two of the cameos, and I thought Michael MJ did a pretty good job in the.
Is that in the second one?
In the second one. Yeah, him trying to be part of the organization, but the Rip Torn. He's like, oh, geez. I got another call. He's always brushing him off in the funny way.
Oh, I kind of remember that scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
I could be Agent M.
I kind of remember that. I just don't remember the overall plot of the second one.
I know they have to, you know, bring Kay's memory back, and it's revealed that he's working with a bunch of aliens.
They had to protect Rosario Dawson's character too. I think Rosario Dawson's in it. Let me see.
I didn't realize. Yeah, I'd have to look. Too. But
well, yeah, I know.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson's in it, and Laura Flynn Boyle's a villain.
Johnny Knoxville was in it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because they set it up at the end of part one where Florentino's character, she becomes one of them, but then they write her out in the second one because she didn't come back for some reason.
She mentally couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember the second one for some reason, but I remember liking the third one. But I think most people consider the third one better than the second one anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we won't talk about International. That thing was just not very good. You know, let's be honest,
because the reviews were so bad.
I watched it. It was like, you know, they wanted to cash in on the popularity of the MCU. They hired Chris Hemsworth and the young lady that plays Valkyrie and was in Creed. I can't think of her name. No disrespect, man. I just can't think of her name. You know, so they're trying to cash in on that, it's just not very good. Unfortunately. And, they tried to get Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith to come back and do a fourth one, but neither one were interested. They were like, why do we want to do this, you know, years later? So the studio went a different direction with the International thing, and it just didn't work. Yeah. So, but we have the original trilogy to enjoy. And this is a fun film, man. I enjoyed rewatching it this week. And I think if I had to give it a ranking, I'd probably give it. Dance number.
Yeah. The Men in Black theme song and then Will Smith dancing.
It's a music video.
Yeah, the music video.
Yeah, music video, but I mean, there's not a dance number in the movie.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's like, you know, there's one of it. I felt like this started like, you know, this thing where Will Smith had to, you know, have a song and dance number related to the film, like in Wild Wild West.
He did a couple movies. I don't remember every film, but yeah. That Wild Wild West movie was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it did give us a quick shot of Salma Hayek's butt, but that's about it.
This is true.
That's probably the only redeeming quality of that entire film.
Yeah.
So, but if I had to rank Men in Black, I think I'd give it a pretty solid A-, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say B+. B+.
I agree with Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little lower, but that's okay. But good film, though. All right. Well, it is time for Duel of the Nerds, in which I, Mark, have won 4 weeks in a row. Not bragging. I'm just kicking ass. But I have this strange feeling that there's a friends bias going on here, you know, especially with some of the themes that Matt was trying to pick for this week. So I have a feeling I might be doomed today no matter what I say. I just don't know if the if the judge can remain neutral on this. I don't know. We'll see. I think y'all might be paying each other off here. You know,
I'm gonna try. You know, I almost made this. You know,
as long as rubbing and tugging you for a victory. You know, I mean,
I almost did Rebel Soldier versus Darth Vader. You know, with Long having Darth Vader. You know.
No, you picked two or three topics that were absolutely would have been slam dunks for Long, no matter what I said.
I don't know. You won with Optimus Prime versus Godzilla. You know, you did convince me of that.
But that was still a little closer it's in possible. Some ways than some of the ones you were picking this week.
That was ridiculous. There's no way Optimus Prime would win against Godzilla. Ain't no way.
But
so, Matt, you're the host this week.
And so do I.
Go ahead and introduce this week's topics.
Yes, this topic is Mark in the red corner with the Imperial Destroyer Class 2 versus Long with the Borg Cube.
Wait. I'm a Star Wars guy, but what is Class 2? You just mean a Star Destroyer?
Look, I know you don't know the technical stuff because you're not a true fan.
No, no, there's actually an Imperial II class Star Destroyer.
Yeah, Imperial II class
Star Destroyer. Okay, what is that? The Star Destroyer that's in the movie, right? At the beginning of Star Wars. A standard Star Destroyer.
Let me double check. I could have sworn.
You can treat it as the same thing, Mark. I'm just giving a tech like DC-17 or DC-15, you know.
But no, I want to get this right.
Star Wars technology.
But there's also Darth Vader's Star Destroyer that's bigger.
That is Darth Vader's Star Destroyer, the Class 2.
That's what I'm asking. No, that's the really big one.
Yeah, isn't it?
That's more sleek and.
The Super Star Destroyer. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Executor class Star Destroyer.
Yeah, you can't throw
that one.
You can't text out. You can't text out Star Destroyer and Borg then throw a loop when the show starts.
Well, I left it open, you know. Hey man, there's no wrong answer.
You know what? I'm going to even though I'm the reigning champion, I'm going to waive my right to go first and I'm going to let Long go the first this week.
Oh, but you forget. I forfeited.
That was unofficial. Because
you triggered me so hard. You triggered me so hard on
you
that.
Have triggered you Trek Long.
Come on, you Trek nerd. Future
comment being.
What?
All right.
What, back Long, to the future comment.
When you are ready.
What? Because I said Indiana Jones is better than
you're back texting.
The future. You dissed the power of love.
No, baby. It should be in the same league.
Not even.
But anyways. Whatever. The Borg Cube. It's about what? 2 miles, 3 miles. Big, I guess. Has a ton of laser beam weapons, and it can adapt to any kind of attack beam to it. So. And even if the shields on the Star Destroyer were to defend its deflector shields could defend itself against the Borg Cube will always find a way to adapt and, I guess, destroy those shields and start assimilating stormtroopers to become Borg. And even if the Star Destroyer was able to put some damage onto the Borg Cube can regenerate itself. From any kind of damage that's inflicted upon it. And that's my spiel on the Borg Cube. Your floor, right. Mark.
Mark, your response.
That's your spiel? That's it?
Self-healing.
Yep. You know what?
Bunch of guns.
When the Star Destroyer is first introduced in the first 5 seconds of Star Wars, and it comes over the screen with this massive, huge thing that blew everyone's minds. Right then, you knew you were in for something special. There's not one
scene. Don't care about pop cultural impact. We're talking about pure battle prowess.
I'm working on it. All right. There's not one moment. There's not one moment in all of Star Trek where the Borg ever does anything that cool. Not only that, the Borg is all like, oh, we're going to simulate everybody. Then what happens every freaking time? They get destroyed. Okay? The Star Destroyers were built as this entire fleet for the Empire to use. That Palpatine was smart enough to use the Republic for his means to build them all. And then he takes them all over and forms his empire, which was just smart as fuck because he's Darth Sidious. And he turns them all into his weapons. And they can destroy anything in their path. They don't have to assimilate. It's just destroy, 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 because that's what a Star Destroyer does. Okay. And not only that, they're ruled by the great Darth Vader and his armies of people. Who rules the Borg Queen? She get her ass kicked by fucking Patrick Stewart. You know? I mean, she couldn't even take on anybody. Or Darth Vader is going, the Empire Strikes Back in part two with Star Destroyers and takes over. It almost puts the rebellion at their knees. Okay. Where they're lost and there's no hope left for them, for the rebellion. Basically again, what does the Borg ever do? They can't even manage to hang on to Locutus when they got him, they let him go. I mean, they never accomplish anything. They just try to simulate, but never accomplish anything where the Empire had the whole galaxy at their knees with these Star Destroyers. They're the greatest ship probably ever made by the Empire, because they didn't get destroyed like their stupid Death Stars. They kept trying to make these Death Stars, and the Rebellion just blew them up. But here's the Star Destroyers just kicking ass. Now, I'm not saying they didn't lose some of them in war, because you're going to lose some ships in war. It's going to happen. But the Star Destroyer was the ultimate sign of the Empire. And that's why they did what they did. You know, they put a galaxy at fear and at its knees. The Borg, let's go simulate you. Okay.
Long your That's rebuttal.
It. Mark, you ignorant slut. You know what's Damn. Bigger than the Star Destroyer, Mark? Your mom. Thank you. Thank you. I win this. That's Go ahead, no, Matt. Pass your judgment.
That should be disqualified, man.
What?
Damn, a mom joke? How long?
You've got like 40 seconds.
I don't give a fuck. I said my bit. I said my bit.
Wow. He took a mom joke in there. You know what? Well, Darth Vader would come in there with Star Destroyers, fuck everybody's mom, and give him the finger and walk off, okay? Because that's what Darth Vader would do with Star Destroyers. Darth Vader is also tough enough that he'll go choking even his own men just for his own means, as we've seen it done before in his Star Destroyer. He doesn't care. He'll leave dead bodies of his own people everywhere. What do the Borg do? They put him in those little glowy things, and you know what is a simulation anything? Some sort of hive mind, which never even makes any sense, you know. And then Star Trek goes and ruins the Borg by putting him in every fucking show they ever had out there, you know. You know, there was no mystery to him anymore after a while. And not only that, Star Trek sucks compared to Star Wars. We all know this. So that's the greatest opening scene ever in a sci-fi film. It's the Star Destroyer. That alone right there makes it better than the Borg Cube.
Your mama sucks harder.
You know what? I'll just take my fifth week in a world victory.
All right. Man, there was like so much fat in both of your arguments. Well, not so much Long. Long's was lean. You know, Mark's, you're just like talking how great Palpatine is and then how the Borg suck. And I heard nothing about firepower or, you know, that it's just, you're just like, it's badass. It's going to destroy it. Long, you did good about the, you know, talking about the abilities of a Borg cube, because I'm not super familiar.
I mentioned firepower and the fact that it had the galaxies on its knees. That's firepower.
Yeah. Long spoke to the tactic. You know, I wish you would have said something about Vader, you know, using, you know, his powers on the ship. You're talking about him using his powers on his own men and how great Vader is, which we know this, but it's like no tactic on how it was going to destroy the Borg cube. And it made it tough.
The Borg has gifted us the grace and presence of Seven of Nine.
Long could have.
Well, I didn't know we were talking about the ships actually. I didn't know we were actually versus the ships fighting each other.
Yeah, like when you say Rocky Balboa versus Drago, you're not talking about, well, Rocky, his shorts look better. You know, you're like, no, Rocky would. You know, he's gonna leave with that southpaw, and he's gonna get in, work that rig cage of Drago. No, it's like same thing. Star Destroyer versus Borg cube. You're not like, well, you know, Palpatine was smart because he screwed over the Republic. It's like, no, that's not how the Star Destroyer is gonna destroy the Borg cube. I almost feel like Long has the edge in here because he talked tactics. So it's just made it a really hard decision. Especially with y'all talking about each other's mom. Vader doesn't even have a dick. So how is he going to fuck anybody? And I'm like, you know, you guys are, I felt like it was like the J in you, Mark, that went out.
Just,
and you're
just
like,
give, you, like, you guys have been teaming up for weeks. You know, just give it to Long. I already know.
Nah, Long, you barely.
I'm going to come up with a better, better topic. Your fucking shitty topics.
I'm gonna say Long barely won only because he stuck to strategy. Mark, if you would have talked strategy for like 3 minutes, this would have been an easy win, I think. But and Long would have really had it in the bag had he like made than the transportation argument, like, because you could have had all those people like just boarding the Starter Store, you would have a stronger argument.
You but never
slight
you
win, just said, very it, slight win by
your long. Text message. It just said Starter Store versus boarding. It didn't say battle tactics. It didn't say we're fighting in space. It just said which one was better. And in your heart of hearts, everyone knows the Starter Store is fucking better.
I guess I could have called a draw, but it's like we
the cube's not
had
even,
so many weeks. Cube. We, yeah,
the cube's not even doesn't even look cool.
You're the judge, Matt.
Yeah,
you could make it a draw if you want. We could do a rematch.
No, I'm down for that.
I really feel like you just slightly got it. Like
slightly got it.
Yeah, slightly. Just because of the
I vanquished him. Huh?
Log, he's been trying to give it to you all week with shitty fucking topics, Joe. So I mean,
man, I gave him. Hey, man, he found a way to ruin Austin Powers. You know, he could have.
Fair, I picked the topic, so yeah. Can't get more biased than that.
I mean, you know, he was over here. Lord of the Rings versus what was it?
Fucking, Back to the Future, like, man.
I mean, it's dude, like, come on, dude. There's no way that can.
There's you still have no way like,
that. I wouldn't know how to debate it personally.
There's no the way DeLorean, that Lord of the Rings loses that.
The DeLorean would have gone back in time, stolen the ring, and then the movies would have never happened.
Boom. That's stupid. There's still no debate that Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Lord of the Rings is infinitely.
And better. Huey Lewis in the news would have written a soundtrack about it.
Oh, lame. Did you try to do Indiana Jones versus Back to the Future, which is just as lopsided?
Ah, no. Indiana Jones. I mean, Indiana Jones is fun, but, you know.
It's way better than Back to the Future.
They don't have – he doesn't have any Nikes that make him hover.
It's still better than Back to the Future. If Back to the Future – if all three movies were good, maybe. But the second and third one just – they're okay.
I really liked the third one as a kid.
But – yeah, but they're okay.
The second
okay.
one still, I thought was very creative. In the
they're
way
still
they
not
back.
Better than the second yeah. and third Indiana Jones film, so that's the problem.
Yeah. It's not about being better. It's about its own, you know, story style. It's never about being better.
Yeah.
People get different enjoyments from it. It's not like it's competing
yes,
to be Indiana
Jones. But when you're debating
Jones.
Them, it's debating which is better. And Indiana Jones is better than Back to the Future, you know? So that would have been
that's
a lot.
It's all about proving your argument and you know, making your argument the strongest it can be, whether it's
now I understand if you want to do the Mummy trilogy versus Indiana Jones because it's a very similar genre, you know.
Yeah, that would be lopsided.
I mean, but it's still more in the wheelhouse of adventure movies.
It's in the wheelhouse. It's like the son of Indiana Jones, you know.
Or God forbid, National Treasures versus the Mummy.
National
you know?
Treasure.
Nicholas Cage.
Hey, the first one's a good movie. I like the first one.
I do like the first one.
Yeah. I've never seen
it. The second one actually isn't bad. It's just more of the same. It's kind of like when you watch the second one, you're like, I already saw this in the first one. You know? That was kind of the problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Moving on.
Well, fuck y'all. Let's do some news.
I didn't even want to win, but I still
Speaking of Back to the Future, Christopher Lloyd has been cast. Christopher Lloyd has been cast in The Mandalorian season 3.
Oh wow,
it's kind of cool. It's kind of weird and surreal as we get more Star Wars projects to see like actors like Woody Harrelson and some of these people are in the Star Wars universe now. And now we have Christopher Lloyd, another actor that we grew up watching. On different projects, and now he's part of the Star Wars universe. But it's good casting. You know, Christopher Lloyd would be a welcome add-on to the Star Wars universe in The Mandalorian. So, kind of cool. Paul Dano is going to write a Riddler prequel comic with the help of Matt Reeves, I guess, apparently. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of interesting take. See where that goes. Should be in comic stores here in the next couple of months. Is there any truth to that meme that's going around that he really did wear Jim Carrey's glasses for Batman Forever? Or they just happen to look a lot alike? You know, I haven't heard anything to confirm that he actually is wearing Jim Carrey's glasses. So thought that was kind of cool, though.
Huh. I didn't see that.
And for those who are wondering, the Batman will be on HBO Max like April 16th or so. So in a few weeks, 45 days after its theatrical release. But it's still playing in theaters and doing very well. And thank anybody who listened to our Batman episode last week. It did very well. So we hope you enjoyed it. Got some good feedback from some people. We appreciate it. I know Matt, one of Matt's friends, enjoyed it. And Matt also had a friend who, I guess, I'm going to call, you know, I'm not afraid to call people out on the show. You know that. What she texted you said she got mad in October because we talked baseball on the show and stopped listening to us. Oh, for fuck's sake. When we talked about baseball for a minute and a half, I don't know. I don't give a fuck. If you can't handle baseball for a minute and a half, I'm sorry if we're going to talk about our passions on the show sometime. We're going to do that. I like podcasts where people get to know their podcasters. And that's kind of what we try to give people. And I'm okay with that. If she doesn't like it, oh, darn. And I'll just leave it at that. I can see Matt smirking. You knew, Matt, you knew when you texted me I was going to call her out. You know I'll call people out on the show. You know that. And but I appreciate your other friend who really liked our review of the Batman.
Yes,
Alex. And Frank also told me that he thought it was one of our best episodes we had done lately too. He thought it was really good. So some positive.
Is he going to watch the Batman?
Frank saw it. He did go see it, and he actually ended up liking it. He ended up liking it way more than he thought. Because I told him, I texted Frank. I said, "Dude," because Frank was one of these Pattinson haters, right? I said, "Dude, don't not go see the movie because you don't like Pattinson." I go, "Frank, I've been talking to you for years. You've told me you wanted to see a Batman movie where he was a detective, where he uses his skills. You wanted to see it more of a mystery. This is exactly what you're getting with this movie." And Frank saw it. He's like, "Dude, you're absolutely right." I was like, "I fucking told you, man." So he did enjoy it. So.
That's good.
And,
that's cool.
We got a couple of trailers this week. Man, what did you guys think about that Ms. Marvel trailer? It just it didn't sell me, man. I'm just like, eh. And no disrespect to the character Kamala Khan. I think it's great how popular she's been, and I appreciate all that. I don't know. The show just was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, it's not directed towards our demographic. It's definitely more for the teen audience,
for sure. Yeah.
Maybe that's where they're going with it. It does look very Lizzie McGuire Disney.
No, Matt, you want to be included in it. You know you want to be a part of it.
I don't know if I felt that, but I mean, I'll probably
so
give it.
Jealous,
I mean,
Matt. No,
I'm sure I'll give it a chance, but it just doesn't sell me.
Yeah.
I guess the fanboys are uproaring over something about how she gets her powers. I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the character to know what they change, but you know, they always change stuff.
Her powers change. Her powers are semi like Plastic Man or Mr. Fantastic, but you know, she can make her fists, I guess, like super big and punch people.
Yeah.
I don't know her powers exactly, but they made it energy form, which is, I guess, makes more sense visually.
Right. Well, it's just like visually they change things. The ten rings. The ten rings are actually rings, not things that go around your wrist. But they change it for the visuals of the movie. So you know, at this bracelets, point, I think we can.
Yeah.
At bracelets. This point, I think we can trust Kevin Feige and his people. You know, so. We also got a trailer for The Boys season 3. I know, Long, you don't watch this show, but man, for that minute and a half trailer, this show was already whacked out crazy after two seasons. The vibe I got from the trailer was like, it's going to get even more fucking batshit crazy. I mean, did you watch? I know, Matt, you probably watched the trailer.
Yeah, I watched it.
That's kind of the vibe I got from it. It's like, can this get any more crazy?
Yeah, I liked seeing Jason.
Jason Knuckles.
Dean Winchester. As Soldier Boy. You know, what we could have gotten as Captain America, I guess. I'm sure he's thrilled to play that. I know he's been on podcast and been very, very excited about playing that role. And just some of the stuff that we see is like, you know, is Butcher, you know, now have superpowers or something?
Yeah, you know? I was trying to figure out what was that going to that.
I wonder if some of these, if he injected himself with that that stuff.
The serum.
You know,
yeah.
Serum, yeah. But we'll see, man. I definitely a little bit more excited now that I see the trailer, and can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah, comes out early June on Amazon Prime. And apparently the first three episodes will be available the first day, then they'll release episodes weekly after that. William Hurt passed away this week. This is one of those where you hear about, like, you know, he was a great actor and won a lot of Academy Awards, and but not also not one of Hollywood's nice guys. You know, he's had some abuse allegations against him back in the 70s and 80s, and he kind of tried to redeem himself by kind of just staying quiet. But he'll still be remembered for the films he did. I believe he won an Academy Award at one time, and of course was General Ross of the MCU. So he has left this world at age 71. And then I didn't write his name down. Godzilla actor, man. I saw that he passed away.
Akira
Takarada. Man, I didn't realize he's for a guy who died in his late 80s. He aged pretty well.
Yes, he did. There was a picture someone put on one of the websites. Like, he was at a con just last week, and he looked great for his age. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And.
But yeah, and I have to thank Comic Palooza organization for even bringing him over here to Houston, which is like a one in a million chance. And I never thought I would get his autograph, you know, in my
life
ever. So I'm so glad I got his autograph. And got to meet him, you know.
Yeah,
for sure.
That brief moment. So,
That's awesome. And my friend of mine, Jason, he used to do the NASA track for Comic Palooza, and he posted some pictures up this week because when some of the celebrities, they would take him on tours of NASA, and Akira wanted to go to NASA, so Jason put a bunch of pictures up there of him visiting NASA and talking about how excited he was that he really wanted to see how the space program worked, and he was like, just really enjoyed his visit to NASA when he was in town for Comic Palooza. So I thought that was cool. Yeah. So, some good stories there though. So I'm glad you got to meet him long. So that's awesome. Whenever we get to meet our heroes and stuff. So that's really cool. That's all the news I got for this week, unless I'm leaving anything out. And Matt, your Dragon Ball superhero super movie, apparently it's been delayed. So there was some talk about that's it being out
this year.
Well, apparently, Toei Animation got hacked, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so some projects got delayed. So originally the film was supposed to be out in April in Japan, and they were looking at a July or August release for the United States. But now they have not announced when the new release dates are. They're hoping for a summer Japan release and a fall release for the new Dragon Ball movie now. So we'll see. So fans have been waiting for it for a while, and I have to wait a little bit longer.
Just a little bit.
Yep. All right. Before we get out of here, we got one last movie for the month of March before we start our April theme month. And, this movie's kind of a good segue into a comedy month because this movie is kind of batshit crazy. It's directed by Joe Carahan, and Ryan Reynolds is in this movie. This movie's got Jeremy Piven, Ben Affleck, Ryan Reynolds. There's a whole bunch of fucking people in this movie. And that is Smokin' Aces.
Hey, Jack. Great. Good. Super. Come on in. Good to see you.
Pete.
Hello, Rip Reed. Come on in. Good, good. Great. Come on. What's nerd? Great. Come on in. Sorry about that.
Hey, Hollis.
Rip Reed. Hello, Hollis. Come on in.
Let's get to the business at hand.
This wanted felon here, Buddy Israel, little Rick Springfield, I guess. His posse, you know, they're all strapped. Or packing heat, whatever phrase is. I don't know what you guys call it. Strapped down. Hey, man. That's not yours.
Put the rabbit down.
Buddy Israel.
No formal witness against the mob has been as crucial as Buddy.
Aces Israel.
He's a strung out, washed up, has been, jerk, snitch, seven-layer loser.
What are you trying to say?
What's the rate?
$1 million.
$1 million hit fee would draw some huge flies.
He's not only essential to our case, he is our case.
They're gonna pour boxes of bullets in Israel.
They must not succeed.
When do we get consigned?
If an attempt is made on his life, it'll be made by those of the strictest professional caliber.
I'm gonna get to Israel before they do.
We gotta keep him in that penthouse.
guys will go Megaton.
You're steering hard, player.
I'm going down.
I bet you are.
This is a movie that it's just like Long's probably gonna fucking hate it. Have you seen it, Long?
What movie?
Smoking Aces.
I've seen it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Did you like it? I didn't know if this would be a movie you'd like because it's one of those action films where you truly have to just suspend your belief and just sit there and enjoy it. And the first time I watched it, I didn't do that. I remember kind of not liking it. Then I went back and watched it again, and I liked it a lot more the second time because I think the first time you watch Smoking Aces, you don't really know what you're getting into. Does that make sense? And then when you watch it again, you're like, okay, I understand what they're trying to do with this movie. And it was on TV a couple weeks ago, and I was watching, and I was like, man, that would be a fun one to talk about because it kind of fits in some of the crazy stuff, some of the crazy films we do from now and then. And I was listening – Jeremy Piven's actually got a great podcast, and I listen to it every now and then. And I was listening to one of his episodes the other day too, and that kind of made me think about Smoking Aces also.
It's got Ray Liotta in it.
There's a lot of people in this movie. It's got a lot of cast in it.
Goodfellas.
And you've never seen it, Matt?
Nope. It's going to be a first for me.
I think you'll enjoy it. This is definitely a Matt movie. It'll be right up your alley. You'll like it. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I have a copy of it.
I think you can rent it.
Either that or it's on Stars as well. So, you can rent it on Vudu for like $3 also. So, but that's next week's show. Is it on Hulu? Okay.
Yeah.
But is it actually on Hulu? Remember when you Google it and ask and it's not always accurate. So, And IMDb has been getting better about updating stuff that's streaming, but sometimes they miss stuff, you know. So, but that's next week's shows. We'll talk Smoking Aces. But until then, that's all we got for this week, man. Just continue to stay safe out there. And we thank you, as always, for listening. This has been Bart.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Men in Black.
We are the Men in Black. But remember, as always, go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And until next week, thank you. And as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.